are back, Underground Espionage, episode 56. Tara, how is it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's good enough.
Is that right? Well, yeah. We got a glass of wine.
It's true. I had dental surgery.
Yes.
Did we?
No. Yeah. No. You had your checkup. The pod knows about the dental
surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I finally finished the abysmal.
Yeah.
Horrible antibiotics.
Those were brutal.
Yeah.
This was actually one of the.
I just want to puke all day long.
Yeah. This has been one of the worst recoveries.
Yeah, it's been horrible.
Yeah. No, that has been discussed, though. We did discuss that when we...
I feel like my stomach is full of glass.
Yeah.
I can't sleep. It's been great. It's been so fun. But this was a great movie to watch to be in that state. I mean, I feel like two films that we watched that were perfect for my state of mind, which was like intense discomfort and irritation.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, we watched High Plains Drifter.
My God.
The other night, which is just one of the all-time greats, and was one of those
fucking movie.
Better than ever watches.
Yes,
that's not our main feature today. Our main feature today is an incredible late period Fulci movie, Enigma. But yeah, High Plains Drifter, just you were in the mood for something dark, something. I don't know exactly what you were. I can't remember what exactly the word you used.
I liked the independent spirit of the drifter, you know, where if they don't want to answer the question, they don't answer the question.
Yeah.
Like, what a beauty, what a joy of just, you know, like, yes, no, kind of the internal solitude that they're experiencing, like but also like strong. I needed that. Yeah, like, would rather shoot you than answer a question. It's so fun. Like, wouldn't it be? Some days that is the mood, you know?
Yeah. So, no, that High Plains Drifter, amazing, of course. I mean, it'd be fun to do. We've never really done a Western episode. We were in such a Western zone last year.
But I feel like High Plains Drifter has such a... It has these times of just being so, like, avant-garde.
Well, and definitely. Like, I feel like the end of it is, like... becomes art,
but the
it becomes
sound
art,
even
you know?
Opening up, it's just the sound is so surreal.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a sound piece. It is like a noise piece. It feels like some sort of like looped wild field recording, but it doesn't really correspond with what's going on. Like, it was like the sound, I think, is psychedelic. Then visually, when the town is, when Lago is turned into hell and painted red, then you have that like stunning, you know, visual presence of the red next to the blue, like the way they use color, like all like the suffering that all the people go through for, you know, their past indifference, their past crimes, like everything like psychological within that film, I think is just really masterful.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I love it.
I do too. Famously, the last thing I did before the apocalypse was go see that movie with Gray at the NuBev, and it was going to be a month every Wednesday or whatever is going to be a Clint Eastwood movie, and that was the first one.
You guys were like, we're going to see all of them.
We were. I think we had tickets to all of them, and that was that, and the world ended, and the world really hasn't, I think it did actually end, and we are maybe in the Lago hell, but we can always have wine.
Oh. Well, when my stomach can handle it.
Yesterday, usually not so much.
Today.
Maybe it caught up with you a little bit.
Yeah. But today is a new day. And you know what? I thought it'd be a nice time. I don't think I get to talk about, I like discussing news stories that irritate me. This is from the 26th of May. It's a news story. Really catches your eye. And it's dog in parked car accidentally shoots woman with shotgun.
Right. Okay. So.
So excited about this story.
Yeah. So tell us about this
story. I wanted to know the details. This is why, like, I feel like the way that every news outlet reporting the story has exactly the same limited, annoying information is very frustrating for me. So after reading, I searched like 10 different articles about it to see if anybody had any information. But essentially what happened was it was midnight. There is a truck with a trailer attached, and a woman pulls up to a stoplight and calls the police because she felt that she had been shot in the arm with a BB gun. But it turns out it wasn't a BB gun. It was a dog. In the back of the car, because the back of the car had like a shotgun blast coming out of the passenger side, and the dog had moved in the car with the trailer attached. The dog had moved and then set off a shotgun, and then one of the pellets from the shotgun hit the woman in the arm. That's why she thought it was a BB gun. Non-life-threatening.
It was like shrapnel.
And non-life-threatening injuries. Shrapnel, no, I mean, well, but shotgun has all those little, you know, it's like birdshot, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So that's why they thought it was a BB. Right, so it makes me even think it didn't even go in the skin, or maybe it went in the skin, but like, damn, just to get a wild one, because it had to go through the door, so the shotgun probably ricocheted a lot.
Right, right.
So, you know, all the things that I want to know, and her arm was hanging out of the window of the car at midnight at a stoplight, which, again, I would never be doing that.
Sure wouldn't.
No arm dangling out car windows here. However, the thing that is driving me crazy is that they don't tell the things I want to know. So that's kind of all the info. Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness.
No. Crime.
Podcast crime. I'm leaving it in.
No.
Yeah. That's a crime.
Let me see. Is it something important?
Yeah. I don't.
Should I text while I'm on the podcast?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it makes for a good
crime. So I didn't look to see who it was. Sorry. But my issue is they don't tell the breed of dog. They're not like, all I want to know is what, I mean, kind of I want to know what kind of truck, you know, I want to know what the owner is all about, having a loaded shotgun in the back of their truck. And then why was the dog not in the trailer, you know? And apparently the dog like turned around and his rump like fired off the shotgun. But like, why do we not know the breed of dog? Are we talking Pomeranian? Are we talking Chihuahua? Are we talking Golden Retriever? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah. No, I know. I was hoping.
The only thing I want to know, and they all have these like AI pictures of dogs sitting in cars or like dogs looking out the window, but none of them are the actual car or the actual dog that shot the shotgun.
See, I was hoping that was going to be the surprise that you were going to tell me that you found out, because I know that that's been killing you.
It's awful. It's been killing me. I read 3 more articles today and none of them had the breed of the dog or anything. But they did link another story from November 2025 where a man was cleaning his gun and had it on his bed and his dog jumped on the gun and then discharged the gun and shot him. But they also didn't tell the breed of dog. We need to know. That's the only reason I'm reading the story. Right?
Yeah.
Is to know what kind of doggy.
What if it was a dachshund?
Shot its owner. Oh my God, a dachshund would, because it's got a long butt.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do the, why did the cowboy get a dachshund, Mike?
Why did the cowboy get a dachshund?
Because he wanted to get along little doggy. It's so cute.
It's a good one. I like it. That's a good time, Tara.
Yeah, well, I thought it related to High Plains Drifter. Can't you just see him run the stranger with no name, like walking around? A little dachshund, stick him on the back of the horse,
hey,
ride off into the sunset.
I love it. There's around here, around the neighborhood, there's a blonde dachshund we always see.
No, I want to meet that dachshund.
Yeah. We have another friend. We have a friend of the blonde dachshund as well.
Not
in this state.
Yeah, I know, but I don't go up and pet dachshunds because they're so sweet. You don't want to just like walk up.
No,
to
I told
a
the owner. I just said, I told the owner one like time, I said, my wife and I love your dog. And
love
they were like, oh, that's so cool. And that is it. Anytime now we do walk by, I give a little nod.
Yeah.
And give a little like.
I like to squeal.
But I don't ever pet a strange dog walking.
Mm-mm.
I might give a little like.
I generally keep my hands to myself.
Well, yeah, but I mean like.
I don't pet strange people.
No, I don't. Strange
dogs. I will pick fruit off of plants as I walk by.
You did that recently.
I did. I made everyone stressed because I passed by a lychee tree and they look semi-ripe, so I picked some lychee and started eating them, and everybody was very stressed, thinking that I was gonna die. They're like, what if those aren't the edible type? I'm like, it's a fucking lychee. It looks like lychee, it tastes like lychee. Like, I'm gonna get some mysterious lychee lookalike that just like kills you. Maybe I should Google that right now. Is there a poisonous lychee that will kill you that looks like a lychee, tastes like a lychee, and has a lychee thing?
I only go to when Gray ate that weird plant and like his mouth like burned.
Pencil cactus. Those are poisonous. I said they're poisonous. I just squawked. I'm sorry. I squawked into the. That was so funny. Yes. Yes. I said, oh, these are really ancient. And they have like a milk inside. And Gray's like, ooh, brontosaurus food. And then popped in his mouth.
And then his mouth burned for the rest of
the night. Because they're very toxic. They can actually make you blind if you break them off. But I don't. I eat things that I know what they are. I don't just like eat random plants. I'm not like walking up. Like Gray also had the orange trees outside. He was like, oh, I can't make any more cocktails. We don't have any orange juice. And I was like, there's like 10 orange trees in your yard. And he was like, those are trash oranges. I'm like, just because they're growing in your yard doesn't mean they're trash.
Yeah, they're good.
So then I stood on the trash can and I picked some oranges and we had some blood orange juice.
And
it was
great.
Delightful. It was delightful.
It was great.
It's
I remember
weird.
That.
Like people in Los Angeles just pass all of these food trees and they just don't clock it because it's just like not.
Right. I mean, I guess.
I mean, I can see how it could be sus because you don't want it all dusty and gross. But
like, it's like. But also with something like an orange.
It horrifies.
The fruit's inside.
It does horrify everybody here. I did it with some lemons. Like every time I find a fruit in Los Angeles and consume it, people are very, very sketched.
Well, but also with stuff like lemon and oranges, they're encased. So it's like, who cares if...
Yeah, protected.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they might be smog. I'm not getting one off the highway like a smog orange. But I like mean, over here, I mean...
It might not be certified organic. I
mean,
I don't know.
Like dirty over here, too. Just give it a wash, peel it up. Like, what am I... I'm not like, eating apples or anything like that. I mean...
No.
I would. Have I eaten an apple here? I eat those little baby apples.
I don't remember.
I'll eat those. Yeah, man, I'll eat some fruit. Let's go. Like our place in Michigan, I would just go pick mulberries, all the things in our yard. Love that shit. Make a mulberry pie, and they're like, where'd you get it? I'm like, off that tree back there. And everybody'd be like, gross.
It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Fucking grows on trees. Anyway.
You made a great dinner last night.
Oh, yeah, you had steak. That was nice.
Yeah, you still, your teeth,
can't
you're not just yet.
Steak that's a little too high but level
but
for
But I like
me.
The potatoes.
I've graduated
you know,
from oatmeal,
job.
But yeah, I did do that.
I mean, oatmeal's fantastic, though.
Yeah, I know. Everybody, how do you feel about oatmeal? How do you eat your oatmeal? What do you do with it? I must know. I love oatmeal. I think it's fantastic.
What else? Before we get into it, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else to note, if there's any announcements. I think everything, you know, again, make sure to get your tickets for Hospital Fest. I still believe there's, you know, it's getting close. Everyone I'm talking to every time I'm out, so we're like, got my ticket.
Know.
You know,
now
so
I'm getting like, nervous again. Let's talk about things that don't make me nervous.
Oh, to keep your stomach.
Keep my stomach to a minimum.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think there's anything to announce too much since our last.
Oh,
episode.
Another great thing just to give everybody a heads up about is that Tales from the Crypt is now available and streaming again. So that's something we missed in our life for a while. And now it's back and I'm so happy.
It is. We've been enjoying. We've been enjoying watching Tales from the Crypt.
I miss those puns. I miss the.
Yeah.
The frivolity. The stars.
So it's been great. And it's been great revisiting some later era Fulci, which we're going to do actually even after we record. We're going to watch the movie, I believe it came out right after the movie we're about to talk about. We're in a zone, and we've always been big proponents of late era Fulci, especially Zombie 3, Cat in the Brain. We love these movies, Devil's Honey. But Enigma is a real standout, I think, and one on the rewatch. Right away, we were like, oh, yes. And this is, you were kind of scanning the titles, deciding what we could do for this episode. And when this one popped out, it's like, ooh, this would be a fun one to do. It's one we've actually always – it had been on our very first list of things to talk about on this podcast.
We got someone in a coma. We got telekinesis. We have a prank gone wrong and a revenge tale. Like, everything.
We got snails.
You got snails. Oh, shit. I did forget to look up something that I wanted to look up.
Well, maybe we'll do it mid-episode. But, Tara.
I think I have it pulled up.
Give us a run on how does – I don't even know if we need the full summation right away because I think we just need to describe the opening scene, really.
Well, I mean, I can just say the Enigma. I think we just kind of described it. It's like, you know, I guess if you want to do like a Carrie situation, compare it to Carrie, what other films would it be kind of like a similar to, Mike?
Well, it's just the telekinesis murder type stuff,
right?
Yeah.
Revenge, murder, that type of thing. So, well, we have – a lady who goes to St. Mary's College in Boston.
A.K.A. Bosnia? Where's this film?
It's filmed in Bosnia-Herzegovina and like former Yugoslavian country.
We are in Boston.
We're in Boston. And it
St. Mary's
looks
College.
So much like Boston.
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. And then we have a gal who's getting all dolled up by two of her besties, and then
an amazing song playing.
Well, yeah, we're going to get into all that in a minute, but I'm trying to be succinct.
I'm trying to know what
succinct means.
I do know what it means, and sometimes...
We better go ask the High Plains Drifter, because he knows succinct.
All right, you're right.
You know
Tara.
What I mean?
Hey,
maybe,
you know
I
what?
Do like a, maybe I can do like a wandering cowboy version.
You know what, Terry, you're right. I'm out.
They pull a prank on her, and then she gets back at him. The end.
But Tara, how about that song? Put on your makeup.
Oh my God.
The opening song is so amazing.
You got that feeling inside, loving for the first time in your life, falling head over heels into the arms of a lover. Hope it will go on forever. Well, and you know, things like that, we know. Falling into the arms of that lover, it will not go on forever.
Not in Enigma, I'll tell you that.
Makeup.
The song is made like smooth rock.
It's really amazing. I looked it up. It wasn't a band. It was somebody who does like, you know, theme songs and such. But damn, what a smooth yacht rock sounding song to open this film. We get the gold painting of the eyelids. We get the painted metallic blue underliner. We get the blush that is like incandescent upon the face, and we get to try on all these like fun dresses and slips and lingerie and red lacy panties, and my God, what an amazing opening. It's gonna be a great time. And you know what's wild about Kathy, like with her two friends dressing her up, standing there naked in front of a guy and a gal?
What's wild about it?
You know, when they're done, she still kind of looks weird. You know, they dolled her up real weird. Yeah. Well, dolled and again, her up real weird, and, but and it kind of plays into this.
It does play into it, because maybe if you hadn't seen it before, you might be thinking, oh, what a weird, like, strange, like, they're just...
I'm thinking Demons 2 type of situation, very much like that.
Going back and forth.
Sleeves going back and forth. Yeah, sorry. But that type of thing. But no, and it was still kind of like... Huh, all right.
But I also love the American decor of all the rooms, with like the posters of like Top Gun and all the Reed posters with like,
oh my God,
Yoda.
So we have Yoda with the Reed poster. We have Snoopy, Peanuts with the Reed poster. We have Top Gun. We
Rocky
have
3.
David Bowie. We have Rocky 3. We have one that just, the one that's like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. So it's just like, in case you're wondering, you are in America. You are in Boston.
Just like at St. Mary's College, Boston, when all of the gals in college, you know, have a uniform, and you wear like a blazer with a long skirt.
Yeah.
And you wear the college sweatshirt. I mean, that's really, it's what we do.
Really emphasizing
how
you are in.
We do it.
Boston, America.
So Kathy is all decked out, dolled up.
Putting on her makeup.
Looking like Shelley Duvall, putting on her makeup. And then what happens? She goes to meet Fred, and Fred is looking like a gorilla. He's got hairy arms.
Hunky. Just a hunky hunk.
His angles are popping. He's looks maxing. He can't. It's like impossibly. His jawline is impossible.
Is this the first? That might be the first time looks maxing has been referenced.
Oh, sorry.
I like that. You said you threw
Fred.
It off. You
I can't
threw it
say
off
it's
so
Fred.
Good.
He is the aerobics instructor at the school.
He's looks
Can
maxing.
Can you imagine that? Looking like that and being
just
the
mogging,
aerobics
just
instructor.
Mogging,
oh my God.
Just mogging
Jesus.
St. Mary's College
of
Boston.
Oh my God, he is. So then he's like, oh, do you really want to go dancing? She's like, I thought we were going dancing. And he's like, let's do this instead.
I love the overdubs. They are so great.
I thought we were going dancing. That's what overdubs sound like, Michael. They kind of talk like this. Oh, it's so wonderful to have you touch me like this. Oh, it's just like I've always wanted. Oh, Fred.
You should
you make me feel complete.
You should be an Italian movie overdubber voice actress.
But don't you think that's what they
sound
like?
It's literally what they sound like. You would be so
Fred,
good.
The way you touch my body, it really fulfills me. Oh, Fred.
If you just the rest of the podcast, if you just want to do that, we're good. I'm just going to sit back and if you do that.
So then we have this, but
do it a little more.
But I don't know what else she says.
Just riff.
The way you put your hands on me, I thought your hairy arms were a bit much at first, but now I think they're absolutely perfect. My goodness, oh Fred,
that was amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So then we see like maybe a CB radio, like some kind of broadcasting device, where all the people who were allegedly her friends are sitting in their cars together, eavesdropping upon their lovemaking session and cackling at how she's so overjoyed at being ravished by the hairy-armed Fred.
And hey, if you've listened a few episodes ago, who hates pranks? These two people right here.
What a shitty group of friends.
What a fucking... Well, obviously they're not friends.
Well, they aren't even friends because they were
but also, like,
terrible.
What a shitty, and they're all like just loving it. They're just like...
Yeah. Yeah, they're all like, oh my God, what an idiot. Fred's in there like pawing her up and making out with her, and
Fred.
She loves it. But it's also like, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of a weird, anyway, it's a weird prank. But you know what? Kathy really gets upset because everybody turns their headlights on, and she was like, oh my God, they've made a fool of me. So Kathy has to get out. She's like, oh, you've made a fool of me. I must exit this vehicle and run as fast as I can far away. And so Kathy starts running. And they're chasing her in the car, like taunting her, which again is like rude, you know, kind of rude. It's not even a prank. It's just like torture.
I wouldn't even say like, this is just torture.
Yeah, they're just like really, really abusing and torturing her. And then she runs out into traffic and gets hit by a car. And then she gets put into a coma with a very handsome doctor, but she's in a coma. It looks terrible. And that's kind of the basis of the movie. That's where we start, is Kathy's in a coma, and how will life at the school go on?
Well, there's something very, very grim and downbeat about this movie.
Yes.
And it has to do especially with the scenes of her in the coma in the hospital. It's so grim and downbeat. Kind of not the movie doesn't remind me of it, but the something like Beyond the Darkness or that grim, downbeat feel.
Yes.
Especially the scenes in the hospital, they have that. Again, it's not the same, but it is also just another grim,
there's
downbeat
feel. There's no playful
feel.
Optimism in this film.
No.
And that is kind of what I had remembered about it and wanted to see.
Yeah, it's very downbeat, yeah.
Like, it's not like, I guess like Carrie and other things, they have like this campiness to them, or there's fun, there's playfulness in between.
Yeah, this one doesn't. This one has is pretty straight.
And there's
up.
Like good characters in that like people that you like and people that might
be
okay.
Yeah, those are all pretty.
Everybody's shitty in this.
No one's great. I mean, I guess Dr. Dusty, and I can't remember his name in the movie, but he is Dusty.
Dusty Farlow from Dallas.
From Dallas, who is also in Warriors of the World.
Yeah,
2017.
His name's Dr. Anderson, Mr. Okay. Anderson, Dr. Anderson.
So excuse us if we do refer to him as Dusty, because we did watch pretty much almost the entire series of Dallas not too long ago. So
yeah, we've been saving like the last few episodes.
I don't even know if saving the I'm just kind of out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot going on.
Yeah. But
been a lot going on. So, but I'm ready to get back in. I'll never get over Sue Ellen.
Well, Sue Ellen, I love Sue Ellen.
Love JR. I love everything.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying I don't.
But
love
now
it.
That Pam is gone, I need Victoria Principal.
Yeah, but
man,
anyway,
Victoria Principal.
Anyway.
Man, oh man, get a load of Victoria Principal. You know what I mean?
Great jugs. But but Dusty is also in Warriors of the World 2072. So I love the fact that someone on Dallas has worked with Fulci multiple times.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. He's in so many things. So, no, Mike, I would argue he is also very shitty.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We'll get into it, but he's like, you know.
Yeah.
Going after college girls and just like running through them. You know what I mean? Just like my sock said, run through. You know, he ain't great. And he pays for it in the end.
All right.
Nearly.
All right.
Well, we'll see. So, you know, I do say, though, when this the hospital bed scene comes about, you know what it reminds me of? The tone of the visuals reminds me a bit of an episode of Tales of the Crypt.
Okay.
With that, because
bit.
It's not a fisheye lens, it's like a wide lens. And so they're coming down from above. And I think what they're trying to do with Kathy is to like show that she has like an otherworldly presence, that she can astral project, that she has powers beyond, you know, normal humans.
Yeah.
And so they give you that wide, wide lens. And you're coming down with like that stark spotlight and it's like dark around the edges. Like that is a very Tales from the Crypt type of look to have. But it's just so bleak because she has like a face gash, and as the
it's
show
so
goes
nasty.
On, like, and as
again, I keep saying,
show as the film goes on, her skin starts turning yellow, and they made her lips crusty, and it's like there's like caked on like skin and things all over her. It's great.
Again, the word that I just keep coming back to is downbeat. It just has this downbeat, like
it's bleak.
It's not, it's just bleak. Like,
everything's
it's not fun.
Bleak about this.
Yeah.
No fun, whatsoever. So. So then we have, you know, we see Kathy and they're trying to resuscitate her, and she's like in the bed. Something about the green sheets.
Yeah, everything about it.
It's
very
un-American looking. With
Let's
all
go.
The
they're
green
in Boston,
sheets.
America. Town.
They're in Boston, America, with all the like hospital green sheets, I guess. But she's laying there with her arms out, kind of like some like biblical thing. And she's like, I mustn't die. I can't die. And she's like floating above the college. And then that's when you get one of my favorite things.
Yes.
The fucking miniature landscape.
I love it.
Love that they chose to do this. You know, Kathy floating above the world. We see everything in miniature of the town. We're not going to get a great, you know, deadly spawn coming up at the end. You know, but the effect was that Kathy can astral project.
Yes, and it's such a great. But again, it just looks so great. It has that great. Strange feel to it because it's miniature. I mean, again, like in Warriors of the World, there's a lot of the miniatures on that, you know, just look so like strange and great. You know,
oh,
we
I
just
love
it.
I
we
love them
it.
So
love
much.
It.
It's like a practical effect that I just can't get enough of. It's was and it's
I,
well
I agree.
Done.
I agree.
Well done.
And so soon we're gonna, you know, see that Kathy's gonna, I guess, put herself. So I guess one of the cool things about this movie is it's a slightly questionable to me.
Yeah, it's really like, ambiguous main, as to what really happens at
like,
this
like point. With our main chick, like
kind of like the dog that fired a shotgun.
Yeah, like is she a real person?
Is it a collie?
Is it someone that Kathy has like infiltrated their body? You know what, Tara? What we're gonna see throughout the movie is gonna be, you know, up for you know the mystery is it might still be there.
Well, can I tell you what I think?
I would like okay. that. I was trying to actually that's what I was babbling, hoping you'd interrupt.
So we see like this stunning lady walk up and it's Eva.
Yeah.
And Eva is just
new student,
but she is a knockout. She was in Red Sonja, and I love the Red Sonja, another one of my childhood
That'd
favorites.
That'd be a fun one to do.
Oh my God, I would love that. Like yeah. I had Conan and Red Sonja that I recorded off TV on a VHS that I just played bald.
That'd be a fun one to do.
As a child, that would be fucking fantastic. I would love
you
that.
You shaved yourself what?
I played it until it was bald. You little creep. Look at you. You haven't changed a bit, have you? Week to week. At least you're consistent.
What are we going to expect?
So she's flashing. We see this flash between herself and Kathy. And so, you know, she is from a really good family. That's the only reason that they would let her in mid-semester. Otherwise, she would never stand a chance. And, Mike, I think that it's that Eva has had a nervous breakdown, and so she's kind of on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Eva had a nervous breakdown, which yes. made it able for Kathy to get in because Eva is a little, like,
open.
You know,
Or like the shaky grounds with
her mental faculties. She's not all there all the time. So that's how Kathy's able to get in and take possession of her.
And she does say that later in the movie. Yeah, you are right. I think that's true. And I think when people are in that sort of state.
No, she says it at this stage.
Oh, is it?
She says it right. I mean, she's like, I had a mild nervous breakdown.
Good. I mean, good, thing, good thing you're the one who takes notes, by the way.
Oh, my God. Well, there we go. Well. I'm quite thorough. There we go.
I was able to have wine yesterday while you weren't, so maybe it's better that we listen to you.
I was unable to have wine yesterday. I still feel like my stomach is full of glass, but that's okay. You got to push through.
We got to push through.
Oh, but then the other thing that's in this. Duh. Okay, so I said the other film that like clearly Fulci is riffing on is Suspiria. Because we have all these elements of referencing Suspiria. Because we meet the headmistress who's walking Eva around. And then we have, like, at the top of the staircase, there is a giant portrait of the headmistress. They say they never see her, but on Friday nights, they can all hear her in the room making weird noises. And so they start doing this, like, Suspiria through line, too, where they're kind of referencing it. So you're thinking, like, oh, I'm seeing these weird supernatural things. Maybe it's just a supernatural school, and that's why... You know, this one student's able to do it because maybe she's part of like some supernatural cult is happening. And absolutely not the case. It's just a total dead end on that.
Absolutely. I mean, there is obviously a supernatural element to this movie, but it's not the school.
No, it's not the school.
It's the janitor, though.
It's the maid.
Maid, janitor.
The one for that whole school.
Yes.
But, you know, but
Boston,
we meet the headmistress.
America.
And I like her aesthetically. She's like a 24-year-old woman.
Yeah, she seems maybe possibly younger.
They just put her possibly younger than all the other ladies. She has like a tight bun and some glasses.
Well, Terry, it's funny because you know, it's always sort of the joke in movies or you know, mm-hmm. Superman, you know, oh, they have glasses. Oh, I don't know who this person is. And then they, you know, glasses off. Oh, it's Superman. Yeah. But you experienced this recently because the other day you did have your hair in a very
tight bun
and you look great. You had your glasses on and you said
I look very much like this headmistress. Two people said they didn't recognize me.
You looked
hot. Two people
hot.
Got like, oh, sorry, I didn't recognize you. I'm like, wow, that ponytail.
You look really
glasses.
Hot right now, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm wearing your ministry cutoff shirt.
Well, it's actually your ministry cutoff shirt now.
I cut this one off a little sloppy. I cut the sleeves off, so now
it looks better on
low.
You than it looks on me.
Yeah.
But I have a nice...
This is a real slutty,
I'm going slutty
ministry cutoff, because you see all the way down the pits, down the sides,
yeah,
like everything.
It looks really good.
You don't want to see down to the navel when you're wearing a cutoff shirt.
I mean, with you, I do.
Oh, okay. That's great. Well,
yeah, you look really good.
Thank you. I feel like shit.
Well... As the man once said, you are repressed, but you're remarkably dressed.
It's grand. It's so good to know. Well, that headmistress. I want to channel the headmistress. So then we get to meet Eva. She meets her new roommate. You know, and I think this is like one of the things that stick with you. Like, Mike, the thing that stuck with you, the snails. Snuck with you a bunch.
The snails, the bet, the, you know, Kathy in the coma. Those are two things that really stick with me. And the statue as well.
The statue. Yeah. The thing that stuck with me was the aerobics class.
I forgot. I had forgotten about that.
And Eva saying, for me, a successful year is making out with as many cute guys as possible. And then, what type of guy do you like? Anything in pants.
Wow.
Yeah, let's
Eva.
Just say anything in
Eva,
pants.
Eva, just going
Eva,
for it.
Eva, calm down. But hey, you know what? Stands to reason because Kathy was kind of horny too.
Hey, look. You
Kathy
know,
was looking to get, and it's like so
nothing
rude
wrong with
of
wanting
them.
To get some.
Like,
yeah.
And the whole reason they're taunting Kathy is because she wants to get with Fred, the guy that they've all gotten with and also want to get with. But their problem with her is that, like, oh, you think that you're so, like, you think you're hot, you could get with Fred. We get with Fred and you can't.
Look,
it's so rude.
We would never. We want people to bang and bang freely.
Kathy.
And we want everyone to get some.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
She's underground, great in her own underground way. Spread it around, Fred.
Underground espionage wants everyone to get some, and we would never prevent that, nor would we make fun of anybody.
That sounds like Rodney Danger, but tonight everybody gets laid.
Hey, we're all getting laid.
Yeah, it's great. So there you go, another hero. You want some? Here you go.
Thank
like,
you.
There we go. Okay, so. We have exercise class. So then we cut to exercise class. And that's where we see, again, Mike, you didn't think Fred was the teacher of the exercise class. You didn't believe me.
You're going to sell me on that?
I am going to do it. Because, like, you don't see two jawlines like that.
His arms looked hairier in the beginning.
They really did. That lighting made his arms look
stupidly hairy. Yeah, and I was focused on the hairy arms.
Yeah. Yeah, were you jealous? You were like, ooh.
No.
I'm glad you don't have hairy arms like
that. Yeah, I like the amount of hair on my head.
Reasonable hair
on my arms, all over. I think it's a. I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't have any.
As long as you're happy.
Yeah, I don't have any. As long as you're fine with that.
Look,
I don't know. Just didn't get any. Sorry, I was just born that way. Okay, so Fred, he is teaching the aerobics class, and we know why the gals like him, because he likes to nag them.
He's nagging, he's mogging.
You don't want the fat getting away. You don't want fat getting in the way when you kiss your boyfriend tonight. And everybody's like, oh, that's right. I shouldn't let fat get in the way tonight. So they work
out. They're learning.
Even harder. And that's how you run a class. That's exactly what it's like. Where do we want to go from here?
I mean, you are doing great. I don't know where you went. You went away.
Yeah, I got distracted. I'm not going to
What are you
lie.
Thinking about?
I'm thinking about how much my back hurts.
So let's pause for a minute. How is your back doing? You had a rough night. You had a rough sleep last night. We both kind of did because I was trying to help you, and I can't get comfortable if you're uncomfortable just because I'm empathizing with you.
Nope. Well, I am very uncomfortable. And
is there something we can do right now?
No. We can focus on this. Like, I want to think about, like, and last night when I was so in pain, I was trying to, like, visualize
you were in
it.
Pain.
It was actually horrible. But I was thinking about, like, what if I could just, like, use, like, my mind and do telepathy, kind of like channel Mary the maid whose eyes glow red, who we find out. It doesn't take long to find out that Kathy was Mary's daughter. So I was trying to, like, be like, what if I have telekinesis and I can, like, make my pain go away? So then I was like, okay, just soothe your spine, soothe your stomach, like, visualize it. But then I started getting paranoid that I would be trying to, like, push the pain somewhere, and then I would push it in the wrong place, and then I would mess up some other part of my body, because what if I actually have telekinesis? So then I started getting really paranoid about, like, maybe if I'm trying to, like, soothe my stomach and, like, push all the acid into my intestines, that I'll get, like, an intestinal ulcer or something, or I'll mess up, like, some other part of my large intestine by pushing all the stress and, like, pain there. What do you think? Which way should I push it? Because I was like, should I push the pain in my spine up to my head, to my brain, and then have it infiltrate my brain? Or should I try to, like, rip it out, like, metaphysically through the back of my body, like, in my visualization?
I mean, I think the ripping it out is the way to go. But I actually do think that, I mean, I do think there's something to be said for what you're talking about, because I really do think that a lot of your pain, when you have outer stress, it manifests inside of you.
Yes.
A lot. And I think it probably that happens to people.
People.
I don't think that's but I think with you,
it's my superpower is not showing my stress, but then secretly developing an ulcer.
Yeah, or other problems.
Or other yeah. GI issues or anything else, yeah. or other pain. And then until I, like, fully deal with whatever's stressing me out, that I will be in pain. It's like my body's just telling me to fucking, like, deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's why I had an ulcer when I was 17.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, your back is definitely... I hate it. I hate that you're having these yeah. issues. But...
But you're not any source of stress.
Well, thank you.
You're not stressful at all. You're just a delight.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? The wonderful people listening right now, these wonderful people at Underground Espionage
absolutely
here with us,
our people,
you are also a delight. You are not stressing me out at all. So thank you for that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Anybody have tips and tricks?
Yeah, our
maybe
people.
Maybe I should try that primal screaming stuff. I don't know.
No, we love our people, and our people are always there. They're always there for the Underground. They're always going to support the Underground just like
maybe
we
should just fly to Nebraska right now and find that fucking dog.
I wish
that malicious killer dog. I just want to know,
Tara, what is the first kill in this movie? I'm trying to Fred. Because not the snails. Oh, it is Fred. Oh, right.
Well,
such a great,
I mean,
no, it, well, yes, it is Fred, yeah. because it's the mirror one. This is, and again, so
then
right away
Fred
you're getting
goes into the studio. So, like, Eva's supposed to meet Fred. You know, they go to their first class together, and Eva's like sending out signals like, I'm down. And Fred's like, same. And they're like,
open
you want to meet?
Biz.
Let's go. And so, and then everybody's like, how dare she? It's her first day. She thinks she can get the only hot guy. Yes, she can. She is stunning. She is amazing.
She's hot.
She's
yeah,
cool as
she's
a cucumber.
Hot.
Like, yeah. yeah, I can see why Fred would be enticed.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Anderson. Anybody, really. Yeah,
she'd
I mean,
get
she's,
it.
She'd get it. And so, like, oh, my God. So rude. And so, you know, Fred was just getting himself all pumped up to go meet a hot babe. You know, he's pumping iron, getting his muscles all swelling up, swolled up. He's pumping the iron. How do you do that?
His looks maxing, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. He is. He's doing all that. So as he's looking at his gorgeous figure in the mirror, you know, you see his face start to go through. And that's when you're like, this film is not like other films. Like, already there's some unusual elements, right?
You're not like other girls. This
you're
film
not,
is not like other films.
This film is not like other films. Because the song Put On Your Makeup is strange. And that starts it. The prank was really odd. The lens in the sad hospital room where there's one doctor for one patient. And everybody just kind of looks at that patient and gets sad. That's how you treat them. Like, that is odd. But then you start seeing Fred push through the mirror, and then you have two Freds fighting each other and
yeah.
choking each other out, and it fucking looks great.
Yeah.
Fred going after Fred, choking him out, and we find out that
Fred on Fred. Some Fred on
Fred
action.
Fred on Fred action, and Fred got it. You know what I mean? But then you're like, is this a hallucination? What's happening? Because they find out that Fred died of a heart attack, and everybody was like, you know how it is with those muscle heads. It's bound yeah. to happen sometimes. They're going to go too hard.
And, of course, we got Fulci as, you know, one of the detectives, right, of course. Like,
yeah, well,
you know.
It's Fulci, absolutely one of the detectives, and saying to the other detectives, these macho types, they do like to overdo it.
Yeah, you know what happens.
Those macho types.
It happens.
So then you're like, oh, this is cool. So, I mean, that is the other fun part of Enigma, is that all the kills are these, it's like, Is Kathy taking possession of each person's body to hallucinate? Like,
right,
Kathy's
right,
using
right.
Eva to draw people into scenarios
oh,
where
right.
Kathy wants them. But then I feel like Kathy's taking possession of them to make them hallucinate something that's going on in their environment.
Yeah,
and
because
then
the deaths
they kill
aren't,
themselves.
It's not Eva. Do, well, I mean, it,
no, it's not
yeah.
Eva killing anybody. Like, Eva doesn't
she's
turn
just
into
sort
a
of,
statue
yeah,
and
no,
choke her out. But
yeah,
I think
this is
it's
such a strange movie. I mean, I really, I'm loving it even more now
no,
talking
I think
about
that,
it.
But I think that Kathy is like manipulating people and taking possession of their minds and jumping into their bodies
yeah,
to make
yeah,
them
yeah.
see like a most horrifying scenario.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, coming up being the death by snail scenario, which is completely insane. And what an insane idea.
Yes.
I mean, of course, Fulci's going to have...
Because they talk about that a lot, about Kathy. Like, you know, they're all, like, smoking pot. Kathy.
Fucking on a waterbed,
fucking
pieces.
On a waterbed. Smoking pot.
Yeah. I was thinking about pieces when they're
I know,
smoking.
I was only
yeah,
thinking
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, yeah, it's very much like pieces. It's all the gals are gathered around, and they're smoking pot. And they talk about Kathy having greasy hair and garlic breath. They say a bunch of spicy things about Kathy, you know, and then they're always smoking in their rooms like nobody would find out. And I was thinking about that, Like, did you ever? Oh no, you were so good. You weren't bad like me.
I didn't smoke cigarettes.
No, you didn't.
Never
smoke.
Have. In
or
my
pot.
Entire life.
Like then, as a teen, yeah, yeah. But like, we would smoke in places and be like, nobody's ever gonna know. Like, I remember I was in one friend's basement in like middle school, and we had a pack of filterless Lucky Strikes, and we were in the basement. And we thought if we smoked up into the vent, then nobody would know we're smoking. We're so stupid. Nobody would know we're smoking because they couldn't smell it in the basement because we were smoking into the vent. But it's like the intake vent for the whole house. So then yeah. Their parents upstairs is like smoke's coming out of the thing. And like, what are the stupid girls doing now? They're standing next to a vent smoking into it like a couple of idiots. Like, everybody finds
Look,
out.
Look, you know, we don't promote these types of things here at Underground Espionage anymore. But
I was experimenting.
Look. Some dumb ideas.
There's some dumb ideas have gone around. Everybody remembers blow tubes. Am I right? Am I right? Anyway, so smoking.
Gotta think of blow jobs. You know what I mean?
So then Kathy starts. Oh my God, Jesus Christ! Then Kathy starts having, Eva starts having memories that only Kathy would possess, like knowing where the lighter was in the drawer, that kind of thing, right? But they keep talking about, how people in New Orleans eat garlic snails and being from New Orleans. And Eva's like, give me some of that disgusting plate of food because it's garlic snails and they eat that where I'm from in New Orleans.
Tara.
It's not a plate of snails, though. It's slugs.
Well, okay.
There
gotcha.
Is a difference.
Tara, ever had escargot?
Yeah.
I have not.
I have.
What are your
had
memories
it in
of
France.
It?
I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. It's butter. I had like butter and parsley escargot. I think they're delicious. However, it's like many things, just like things like caviar. I find that like fancy foods that people are afraid of. It's like if you taste the cheap version, you're going to hate it. But if you taste the expensive version, you'll know why everybody loves it. Like if you taste shitty, cheap blue cheese, you're going to be like, gross. Why
Definitely.
Does anybody like this?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you taste like a handcrafted, you know, wonderfully made artisanal blue cheese, you're like, that's delicious. And it's the same thing with escargot because like they get big and I hate the big fat ones because you're not supposed to. It's impolite to bite them in half. So when you eat the escargot, you should put the entire thing in your mouth and eat it. But when they're those big fat snails, like it's too much in my mouth at once. You know, just like sushi, you're supposed to eat it one bite. But it's like it's too much and it's too much chewing. And I just get annoyed at having to deal with it, you know. So
right,
if it's like
right.
a delicate, adequately sized escargot that's lovely, I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I would love
you
to.
You would like them.
I've actually never
really
had
would.
Caviar either. I would. Like, it's not, I have no.
Yeah, I mean, caviar is great. It's just that the whole thing is you don't want, like salmon roe when you have, like, those big fat salmon. Caviar just tastes like a bunch of fish popping in your mouth. Like, they, like, pop, like, juicy. It's like juicy fish water in your mouth. And that's not necessarily great. But if you have, like, a delicate, like, I don't know. Sturgeon's nice, like all kinds of caviar. I'm not even going to talk about the caviar that I like, but like with that, with like the creme fraiche and the little blini, like it's nice. It's
Man,
nice.
I want it now.
It's great.
Let's go get
twist
it.
A lemon.
Where do we even go? I don't even know.
I mean, you know, it's fine. It's just like, it's like that whole thing. Like it just comes to me. I don't have to like seek it out. Just
Whoa.
Like caviar. People be like, hey, you want some of this? I'm like, yeah.
Whoa.
Just say yes a lot and you'll get your caviar.
Well,
you know what
well,
I mean? Like,
okay. I think, think we're learning here.
So now, because the roommate hated snails and Kathy eating snails so much and said she reeked of garlic and she had greasy hair, of course we're going to have a punishment that fits that sort of thing. Because at this point, we're still being like, is this the maid mom who's doing it? Because she walked over with the plate. You know, so we don't know exactly who's doing it yet. Is it Kathy? Is it Mary, the mom? We don't know. But what we do know is that somebody's bed gets covered in snails. And boy, does she get it with those snails.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely an insanely memorable scene. Of course, you know, we had the rain of maggots in City of the Living Dead, the puking of the guts. This is one of those Fulci just, oh, yeah, that is wild. And it's just covered in these snails. Terry, you're saying the snails are banging.
Well, I was trying to tell because the way some of the snails looked, it did look like, because like, just like frogs will have frog orgies and snails, you know, might get like frisky.
Snail
I was trying
orgy.
To look up snail orgy. I had this vague memory of snail orgy, but I do know like the way that snails are both male and female, Mike. And so, like, snails have these things that are like love darts. And so snails can actually, like, penetrate each other simultaneously.
That's wild.
And with their love darts, or sometimes it could just go one way, and sometimes it could go the other way, but sometimes they just go two at a time. But it looked like the way all those snails were on, looked like a lot of them were like a bed of snail shells, like escargot shells, like kind of like sewn together to cover her. Mm-hmm. But then otherwise, it looked like a lot of the snails on there were actually banging.
It is a wild scene. They linger. It goes a while. Snails going in her mouth. It is a
and then there were like fake snails, like real. Wow. Yeah, it was great.
No, they're
and
all then, real. We yeah, saw yeah, it. Yeah, it
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then see in my notes, it says, Tara, look up snail orgies. You know what? I'll come back to everybody and tell you more fun things about snail sex. Some of them do it like dangling, like they
what do you
hang.
Mean?
Like they hang from
nice.
The. And then they like, I don't know, it's a whole thing. I'll tell you more about it. Like they hang from the air.
Tell
and you
us
can
about
look
it right now.
They,
you, we all,
like they
we'll
twist
all believe
together.
You.
They like hang from a, they suspend themselves and then they intertwine and then they twist together and they have this whole.
It sounds amazing.
Banging ritual that they do. Snails are.
I'm more into snails than I ever
quite
thought I would have been.
Horny.
I like these guys. I want to eat them and I want to watch them fuck.
Not only. And then the great thing, Mike, about escargot is when you have the shells, like this. I had the accent there for a minute. You can tell I'm tired.
That was
when
funny.
You have the shells.
That was good.
Then you flip them over and then you can, the butter and the parsley sauce, you take your bread and you clean your plate with this melted butter parsley sauce
and
it's
fuck with
so
it. Oh,
fucking
you're
good.
About eating. I'm getting
so
confused
fucking good.
Now.
But my trick when I was in France, I would, if the escargot were too big and I didn't want to eat the big ones, I would flip it over and then like people would flip them to make sure I ate them. And I'm like, you missed one. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. It's fucking too big. It's too big for my mouth. I don't want the fat ones. I like the little cute ones. Just like blueberries. Anyway. So then, you know, we have a scene where after the snails, people are dying, picked off one by one.
I love
everybody's
the statue.
Like, what's
the statue that like comes to life and like crushes the one. And it just looks so crazy.
And then we did some fact-finding mission because Eva's lying about the earring being lost. She was like, oh, I have to go back to the museum because my earring fell off and my mother will be so mad. I'm lost.
Oh, this
earring.
Is Grace, right? Grace.
Yeah. And then the bitchiest girl of the class.
She was nominated the bitchiest girl of the class.
Voted bitchiest girl of
the class. And then Dusty is like, she is
row.
Quite beautiful. And hey, look, I'm sure she's a great person, but I would
not
say
I would
say
not
she
call
quite
her
beautiful.
Quite beautiful, but that's okay. You know what? To each
their
own.
Own, and I hope she still
to
gets laid, too.
Own.
Well,
yeah.
She's a bitch, though, so
well,
maybe not.
Well, she's not going to, because she gets terrorized. She gets terrorized, just like Kathy did. She has to go in. She has to find her earring. We rewatched it. She was not missing an earring when Eva talked to her, but Eva said she was, because then Eva found the earring and put it in her pocket. Then they go back to the museum, and when Grace looks up, she starts seeing the painting on the ceiling.
So cool.
I wanted to call it a fresco. It's not a fresco.
It's so cool.
On the ceiling, starts bleeding and bleeding upon her. And then it's great because, like, in the next scene, you can tell that they, like, got it. The sweatshirt was stained and then realized that they wanted it to be a hallucination. So they couldn't quite wash all the stains off. So then she has, like, a weirdly stained sweatshirt. She's running around horrified by the statues, the snakes coming to life. Like, I feel like this is, like, the peak scene.
It's so great.
It's so
it's
good.
So, the scene's so great.
And then hallucinating, like, the, what's his name holding Medusa's head?
Medusa.
Boryphon?
I'm not going to know
can't
that.
Remember.
That's not going to
happen. Tellerophon.
That's not going to happen.
Holding the Medusa head? Is that what it is?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's but again, it's so funny. You brought up something that now my whole Bellerophon. Perception is like, so is Kathy, is it in the victim's brain that this is happening? Are these things actually happening?
No, I think Kathy is possessing the victim and terrorizing them by making them hallucinate what they see. And then they're getting scared to death. But then they're also like, how did the 110-pound girl pull a statue onto herself? Like, that's
the question.
Or
is
the statue
just
fell on her.
Or is she like freaking out so much?
Standing next to it, freaking out, and it fell on her. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, wow.
I don't know, but I think it's great. And Eva loses her shit again, has a great freak out in the room, because that's another reason I think Kathy's possessing her, because like Eva's like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Cause I'm
well, has the freak out, and then in a strange move, the movie sort of changes in a way, because then Eva is like put in like a institution, and then Dr. Dusty's with one of the other chicks for the last section of the movie.
This is why I'm telling you that Dr. Dusty is not that great of a guy.
You're right.
Like, he's saying he loves Eva and they're banging and doing all this stuff. He's picking her up in his Porsche and then he just moves on to her roommate. Like, that's shitty. And then he's running around in a sweatshirt that just says university.
Yeah, what university, guy?
University. Just a big fan of higher education.
University America.
University of Boston. No, it just says university. No.
Yeah.
It's great. So, but the great part about Dusty is that we also get a wonderful, Dr. Anderson, a.k.a. Dusty Farlow from Dallas.
Dr. Dusty.
Dr. Dusty. We get a beautiful, greasy sex scene.
Okay. Well, that's with Eva. That still is with Eva, right?
Yeah, but it's not a real sex scene.
It's so good, it's though.
Because this is Mike, and this is what I think happened. I'm just going to assume everybody's seen this, or like I'm going to...
I mean, if they got
I'm
going to
explain
good.
Like what I think happened. I think because he's like he's kind of like falling asleep at the hospital. So I think this is showing that because Kathy has been possessing Eva and loves Dr. Dusty, and Kathy loves her doctor because he's taking care of her in the hospital, she then possesses his mind while he's sleeping so she can bang him as Eva, and she gives
and
him
nice
the horrifying
bang
dream
session too.
Greased up bang, like oil overload type. Yep. Red light pulsating. It's like,
you know, we're a fan.
It's like they're in our bedroom, you know. Yeah. It's like they have a camera right in the corner of our room. And then it's like, but I think that, and then at the end Eva just starts biting him and scratching him and, like, you know, tearing him apart
again.
But I think it's because Kathy knows that he's moved on to Eva's roommate and is unhappy at his lack of commitment to his gal pal.
I'm with you. No, I'm going. I'm 100%. Your dissection of this is spot on.
And then Eva writes a letter and is like, "You're mine always, always and forever. I love you. I can't wait." Like, writes the letter kind of like Kathy would write.
No, you're right.
The only thing I think of is you. I'm going to love you always.
Yeah.
And forever. You know, you're a piece
Absolutely.
Of me and I'm a piece of you, like that type of thing. So anyway, that's kind of what I kind of thought happened here.
I'm with you. And I do love when Eva does come back for, you know, the final act and, you know, again, the hallucinations. I love the room, the marble room with the slabs and the beds when the roommate goes in and Ava's coming to attack. But again, it's this telekinesis psychic war that's going on.
So then we have, you know, I guess the final boss would be Kathy's roommate. And Kathy's roommate is fucking a guy named Tom. Like, in the beginning...
No. Oh, yes. Sorry.
But in the beginning, it's the two that dressed Kathy to go out on her hot date. And in the beginning, I thought, like, Tom was, like, their gay friend because he's like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's the roommate's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, you know, she and Tom are always kind of like romping about. And I think what this part, the fever dream that happens here is when she and Tom are banging and she comes out and hallucinates that Tom's head is off.
Oh, it's so
and then
good.
Runs from room to room and hallucinates that everyone's head has been decapitated. Like everybody in the entire college has been decapitated and it's just bed after bed of headless people. And then runs back into the room where Tom's body is and stands in the windowsill. And then sees a hallucination in front of the Tom Cruise poster. And Tom Cruise from Top Gun becomes something deadly.
So great. Oh. Yeah, this whole scene's so great. And then, you know, she plummets to her death. And then our man Tom gets decapitated by the I guess, whatever covers the window. It's sort of...
Yeah, the windscreens of Boston. The dangerous, deadly windscreens of Boston. But again, like, it's so good because it's that hallucination. Everything's so dark. Like, even going to the hospital, it's like the darkest hospital you've ever seen.
Yeah, I always like a good dark hospital
this
movie.
This really... Because all the hospitals that are pitch black.
Yeah.
Like, this really is a type of thing. Like, a great film to watch with the lights out.
Yeah,
you know,
great atmosphere. You know,
great for the fever, because again, it's like it doesn't, like, you know, the, you know what's gonna happen. It's just a, you know,
and then like you said, like the way
people
you're dissecting
getting possessed and hallucinating it, and like
and the way we're dissecting it, of course, we're putting our spin on it, but it, you know, not
throwing
everything
in my 2 cents.
Not everything really adds up. Like if you really were to like,
but
that's what makes these movies great. I think that's what makes a lot of the later era Fulci stuff great. Is you can just let it unfold, like I say, and every time you revisit, you start getting new things out of it. And like it's so much about, like you said, these scenes with the decapitated stuff, and it becomes like you said, what is actually happening?
Yeah, and like, and also this is, you know, late Fulci, low budget.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But I think they do well with the budget they have. But we have the roommate ended up in the morgue, or sorry, the new gal who's dating Dr. Dusty.
Yeah,
end up in the morgue downstairs, and everything's marble, and the elevator disappears, and they look up, and you can tell like the ceiling is like made of paper that looks like
marble.
But it
looks so cool.
But everything looks good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're, it's truly like not like a hyper budget, but you know what they're all doing. You know?
Exactly.
Like, and I don't have a problem with it because I think it's still aesthetic and I think it's stylized. Again, it's, you know, him trying to do Argento in the stylization, but it works.
Yeah, and again, you know, we always go with that, you know, low budgets can bring out great ideas because it's bringing out ingenuity and bringing out ideas of how to make this work, and then it becomes something else.
Yes.
It becomes something captivating in that way.
And we also didn't talk about like the sound design in
it's
so weird.
It sounds
strange. Like everything is up close. Like the Foley is almost like through pedals. Like it's very surreal.
Well, you were saying, I think even like the very end when Kathy's getting unplugged and the dripping and it like hitting, and it's almost like it's so crazy.
Yeah. It sounds insane. And then you just hear whispering. Like again, the whispering through the walls, just like, and you just hear like distant whispering, and then the blood from Kathy's whatever IV that was supplying her with blood gets pulled out by her mother because she doesn't want her to murder any more people. Wants her to be able to rest peacefully and not terrorize a girls' college. You know what I mean? Just like, come on.
I mean, I love this movie. I really, really love this movie, and this watch this watch, and then now this talk has made me love it.
I love it even more. And then another wild decision that I think happened is like after all of that, the Put On Your Makeup song comes on again.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
Put on your makeup, and it's just like, oh my god,
it's so crazy.
After all of the horror, and then we pull out, and we get the shot of the like miniature village, like which is definitely above a hospital. It looks like two like cistern tanks.
It's so crazy.
Like back out on the city, like just very strange. And then all the cast names, I guess, from the filming locations were just wild.
Yeah.
And we're like, where the hell was this filmed? It's great. It was a good time. It took me away from my my physical misery for a bit. I enjoyed it in a way that it was not lighthearted, that it was completely bleak and dark.
Yeah.
Like
just
it's
dead
not,
serious.
Yeah, it's not like a funny, like it's not campy.
No.
Yeah.
No, just totally went with it and totally
it's
just
bleak.
Went with the bleakness, the downbeatness and the grimness of it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, absolutely is moving up my list of favorite Fulci. I mean, we love them all. They're all our favorites. And I'm excited to watch Demonia. I mean, we're going to watch that tonight.
Wait.
I'm not saying we're going to do the next episode on that, because this one might just be more for us. Might be a watch for us.
Yeah.
As Terry, you said the other day, like, I just want to watch a movie for us. And that was High Plains Drifter.
I wanted to watch a movie for us. It was nice. I was trying to think of the other two that I wanted to watch.
I mean, we got... I want to watch...
The Medusa Touch.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that.
I don't know that one.
I want to see The Medusa Touch. And Patrick from 1978.
Great. Patrick's amazing. Patrick's one we watched. Well, at least I've watched it back in the day.
I feel like it's been like 20 years.
I watched it back in the Cove days.
Oh, wow.
So it's possible that we didn't watch it together. It's possible I watched it. It's a great movie.
I feel that I've seen it.
Patrick still lives. The sequel is also insane.
Oh, can't wait.
But yeah, Enigma. An excellent late era Fulci movie. That's what you're in the mood for. You want something grim. You want something downbeat. Pop.
But really entertaining. And
I think it's
lots of unusual choices that are exciting.
Great on the continued multiple watches, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's one that just.
Yeah, everybody's bad.
Kind of like life, Tara.
Yeah.
Everybody is bad. Well, Great talk, Tara. You got me even more excited about the movie than I was before.
Awesome.
I hope you got everyone else more excited about the movie. We'll see what happens next week. Who knows? Who the hell knows? Do you know, Tara?
No. I don't know.
Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow?
I'm going to puke.
You probably are. You might puke right now.
I might puke in 10 minutes.
Well, you know what? Let's let Tara go puke. We'll go pop in Demonia, have a little more of this wine.
Yeah.
And
gotta refresh that tummy.
And you got it. You have to plow through. You can't let it. You can't let something like that, you know, take away. You know, you have to.
I don't want it to think it won.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm trying
exactly.
to say. Exactly. You can't let it think you won.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to, like, just be laying in a still semi-comatose state. I'm going to astral project. I'm going to go pour myself a glass of wine, astral project it right into my mouth. just go, you know, exercise some vendettas upon anybody I feel that have wronged me, such as dentists.
Yes.
Maybe I'll take a bunch of antibiotics and punch those in the face. Punch the antibiotics in the face for my vengeance, and we'll see what goes from there.
I'm fully on board. Well, thank you so much for the support, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.